Hey everyone, this is Becky. Just a quick check-in to let you know that the holiday episode will come out next week. We'd love to hear from you. Visit our loveandleadparenting.com website. There's a blog called Celebrating the Holidays. We'd love to hear what you're looking forward to and what is hard as you anticipate the holidays coming up. Welcome back to Love and Lead Parenting. We are here in a series called An Invitation to Celebrate. Through this series, we've been talking about our family values, how we make our values, then how we live into our values. I have another guest with me today, Sherry Harder. Welcome to you.
Thanks. I'm glad to be here.
And one of the reasons I wanted Sherry to come on and share today is what I've really admired in our friendship, Sherry, is how you're a storytelling family. That's one of the ways I feel like I felt most welcomed into your life and family is the way you've kept story alive and how you could make memories and moments. So I'm excited to dig into that topic a little bit more with you today. As we get started, though, for any listeners maybe that don't know you, why don't you take a minute to share a little bit about yourself and your family?
I'm Sherry Harder, and I grew up on a farm in Illinois and now have lived the last 21 years in Iowa. I'm married for 45 years to Mike. We have been bivocational pastors most of our life and are still there today. We have six adult children, five boys and a girl. I like to say my basketball team and my cheerleader. You know what sport is my favorite sport by that. And they are from ages now from 44 to 32-ish. So that's the ranges. And then we have seven wonderful grandchildren from 14 years to 2 years is the span of our grandchildren.
Awesome. Such a rich years of experience to draw from today. And I want to start, we call this Love and Lead, with the idea that everything we bring to our family is because God has loved us and led us into life. And so as we think of celebrating, having memories and moments, how has God loved you and led you into celebrating?
Yeah, I love that. And I love that premise of we give out of what we've experienced in our life with God, right? Not even what we know so much, but as what we experience. And I have to say, one of my biggest memories as a child of celebrating is my birthday is on Flag Day. And so one of my earliest memories that I treasure of celebrating is my mom used to drive me down Main Street in our little farm town and say, "Look, Sherry, the flags are out." And she said, "They put them out for your birthday."
Oh,
and I believed that till I got in first grade and I found out that Flag Day is a holiday that just happened to be on my birthday. But I just have to share that memory because I loved that my mom found a way to just celebrate, you know, even a national holiday and let me feel loved and celebrated in that way. And so good, just small things like that. And the other thing I think I would share is I don't overlook the ordinary spots of life that our celebrations. And we tend to think of celebrate, right, as all the songs, celebrate your life, come on, and big things. But what I came to find as someone who met Jesus and said yes to following Jesus in my teen years, and then getting married very early and having children right away, is that God started showing me how he was celebrating my life through the ordinary things I did in raising my family. So I had a little bit of a traumatic childhood, with some scars and things that maybe I wasn't even aware of. And there would be moments where I'd just sit dinner on the table and I could feel God celebrating my family in the normal things of eating a meal together. Or I would fold my children's clothes and put them in the drawer and I could celebrate that I was giving my children an order in life that I didn't grow up with. And so there was this sense of God celebrating those things. And at the same time, the celebration and love of God in the ordinary healed wounds I wasn't even aware that I had in the spiritual or extraordinary part of life. So I've learned that the everyday ordinary things that we celebrate also have deep spiritual power in our life to heal and deepen our love relationship with God and others.
I love that. I love even the perspective. I'll be honest. Sometimes doing laundry or making meal can feel like a chore or a duty as a parent and a mom or a wife. So just putting a whole different perspective on it, that I get to do this for my family, is a really powerful paradigm to hold. I'm going to ask you also, I feel like in today's culture, we have a predisposition to celebrate with our kids that seems to come easy and natural, a little bit more than our marriage maybe. So I just want to take a minute first for marriage, but even like as a somebody that might be a single parent, like what does celebration look like in those situations?
I wonder if, and I'm learning this even in my older years, I wonder if sometimes celebration isn't just saying, I lived through the day. And at the end of the day, seeing God celebrate that with us. Well done, you did it. Even the messy days, right? And even in a marriage, I mean, I feel like we're in the older years, really sweet spots of our marriage, but we had dry spots of our marriage too. And I felt at times like that, that God was affirming and celebrating that we were there being faithful regardless. And for single parents, I think just seeing that God recognizes your humanness, he sees your Herculean effort and that you're doing it alone, and pausing at the end of the day even to say, God, what do you think about how my day went today? And let the Lord speak his words of affirmation and love over you. And then there's the other part of celebrating an affirmation that comes from the people with skin on next to us, where maybe we share where we think we're failing and they turn around and give us a different perspective. I see this in you. Wow, you're my hero. And you're doing it alone if you're a single parent, and able to, letting them speak those words over us. So it's what God speaks to us directly, but then letting ourselves live in a community of people that God can use them to speak to us with skin on and be the voice of God in our lives as well.
How true is that? And how needed. We need others. We do get, again, tunnel vision into the caught up in life. And I also hear this invitation to gratefulness is almost the well that we're drawing from when we talk about celebrating and being, I'm going to go back to it. I just feel that, like, even with being grateful, we have laundry to do, being grateful, we have a table, that we're making a meal, that we have children to sit around the table with us, even though we know it's going to be a mess to clean up and we are tired at the end of the day, being grateful even for the tiredness that comes and knowing that we worked that day and that God was with us.
I love that you bring up gratefulness. I'll tell a story of myself a little bit because you asked about individually. I went through a period of in my life not long ago, a few years ago, and I noticed my gripiness you know, we'll keep this G-rated. I could put a different word in there, but I noticed just my gripiness. Mm-hmm. And I just remember saying, I've got this, I don't like this. And I just started a practical thing that I had read in a magazine. It was a gratitude journal. Mm-hmm. And I just said, you know, for a year, I'm going to try to do this every day. And it just took hold in my life. I'd just spend a few minutes at the end of the day and I'd write what I was grateful for. And then I started looking up scriptures that had gratitude in it. I started looking up quotes about what it was like, you know, what gratefulness would do. And that practice changed who I was as a person. And just even a simple thing with our families of at night, what are you thankful for?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, and then I learned through a tool like the Examine, I'm even allowed to sit and say, what am I not so thankful for? Because God is even at work to show me things there. And gratitude has such a powerful effect in our lives to transform, but also to help us receive God's grace and mercy.
Hmm. Yeah. Which leads where I want to go, actually. What are some of the values you had as a family or have currently? I assume gratitude is one of those. You just shared that. What's maybe one or two other values that were really important to you in parenting and now in grandparenting?
Mm-hmm. I think one value for me is to believe in the goodness of God in every created being, including my children. And I picked this up as a young mother, believe it or not, reading Catherine Booth's writings on being a mother. And she talked about that she feels the church at that time, which was, you know, what, in the early 1900s, was so focused on the evil that could be in a child, or the bad, or always correcting the bad, right? And she said, we need to focus and draw out the goodness. Mm-hmm. Each child is created in the image of God. Mm-hmm. And is worthy of love, because the image of God is in each created being. And that changed me. Each child deserves to be loved, to know that they're loved. And it helped me look at my children differently. That you're not bad because you may spill a glass of milk or get home after curfew if you're a teenage child, or you know, cheat on a test or do something wrong. You know, you're good. And just to call out that goodness of God in that child, that helped me so much as a mom when I was frustrated or exhausted, right? Calling it out on my child, but then even looking inside me and giving myself that grace. I too am created in the image of God. And I may not have had my best parenting day to day, but I'm going to let God give me mercy and grace and show me who I am as a parent. This gets even more fun for me as a grandma.
Mm-hmm.
Because Mike and I had said that we were going to be the people that every time our grandkids walk in the room, they get to see our face light up because they're there. Because I believe every child deserves to see a face light up as if they were the only person walking in the room. That is spilled over into our life, into church. We go on Sunday morning and we look at kids and we want those kids to see our face light up like a light bulb, that we're so glad they're there. And that has become like a mission for us in our family, in our grandchildren, and how we see ourselves and how we see the people in the world around us.
Oh, wow. I love that. And how that reflects God's heart when we think about it, because we know God's eyes light up when he sees each one of us. Mm-hmm. So that's a beautiful reflection. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to ask you now tell some stories then on yourself, on your family. And even in it, if you can give us an example of like how you called out good, obviously we want the God goodness called out, and yet we have to correct behavior, right? Mm-hmm. So if you have a story that you were able to, you can kind of example, give us an example of how you were able to distinguish that. I'd love it.
Mm. Yeah, very good. One of my favorite ones, I'll say with my grandkid, first with a grandson. I don't remember what happened. Isn't that great that I don't remember what it was? But something got broken or spilled over or something like that. And there was that moment, right, where the child stops and they look like, okay, I know this wasn't good. Mm-hmm. What's going to happen, you know? And we were able to say, you know, that's okay. Everybody messes up sometimes, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. And they went, yeah, that's right. Everybody messes up sometimes. And you're not saying, oh, well, you know, that shouldn't have happened or whatever, but you're right. just saying, it's okay. Everybody messes up. Let's clean this up together.
Right.
Here's a towel for you and mm-hmm. a towel for me, right? Mm-hmm. We both have our responsibilities in the cleanup.
Right.
And later in a family gathering, we heard a small cousin do something. And we heard this older grandchild say to the younger one, it's okay. Everybody messes up sometimes.
Mm. Mm.
We yeah. first have to receive the mercy
yeah.
so we can give it to someone else. And then here's another one of my favorite teen stories from one of our older children. They were so logical and could have easily been a lawyer. Mm-hmm. They decided not to be. They actually considered it, but didn't. And we went through a hard time in their teenage years. And we actually ended up having to go to get counseling. We needed tools. We mm-hmm. just didn't know what to do. And there's something about that I'll share, but first I'll tell the story. But one of the tools I realized in that was that this was just how God had made my son. Mm-hmm. It wasn't that he was trying to fight with me or to be rebellious. It was that he really couldn't logically understand because he felt like he had such a good reason to not obey
mm-hmm.
the limits mm-hmm. that we were wanting to put on him as a teen, right? Okay. So I came up with this with him. All right, here's the thing, son. You could be a lawyer if you wanted to be. Right. So we're going to hold court. I'm the judge.
Okay.
I set the rule. I'm upholding the law because that's every judge's sure. thing, job, right?
Right.
They're upholding the law. I said, I'm the judge and I'm upholding the law. And I said, you get 2 tries to make your case in court with me. And if you don't make it, you have to accept my final rule. But I promise to be an impartial judge and listen to you. And so the deal is, I will only listen to your argument twice if you promise to accept what comes back on the judge. And I give you my word, I will listen like an impartial judge. So this became a thing in our relationship. And I want you to know that he embraced this with fervor. One, I was respecting who God made
mm-hmm.
him.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
And then the other thing is it became fun because I bet you 75% of the time he came back with an argument that adjusted my view of the law.
Mm-hmm.
And I could actually make the law work for the
adapt
the son mm-hmm. for his good.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there were only about 25% of the time that he had to accept my ruling. Nope, you lost your case.
Yeah,
it sticks. But it deepened my appreciation for who he was. I got to understand that laws were made for man mm-hmm. and they're good. Mm-hmm. Not to keep them in prison, but to set them free to be healthy. And that just became this fun way of communication for us. The other piece I want to bring into that is I think our biggest struggle in the teen years was that until we got this good advice from counselor, and then there was another older couple in our church that took us on like in a mentoring relationship, mm-hmm. we just went to them and said, will you help us? We're lost. Mm-hmm. And I think what we really came to realization was that so much of our parenting in those teen years was led by fear mm-hmm. and not love. Mm-hmm. We were so afraid. We didn't want our kids to go down the roads we went down as teens and make some of the mistakes we made. And everything we did was out of fear. And we realized it needs to be out of love. And when we were able to switch that and not be afraid anymore, mm-hmm. we were able to have more fun mm-hmm. and actually then be able to stick to some of the stuff we did say because we knew we had done it out of love.
Yeah, absolutely. Which holds and what the whole name of this podcast is, love and lead. And that is exactly what that's about, leading with the love and then lead. I mean, it's just like one leads into the other. The leading leads you back to love. And as you love your kids, you lead them as God has called you to. All right. Awesome stories. I want you to, we're going to now kind of break down into age groups with some ideas. So think about young kids. When you had kids young, obviously you've had some young grandkids. What are a few simple ways that you found to create moments and make memories with the young children? Let's say 0 to 5 type mm-hmm. age group.
One of those favorite times for me was bedtime. Mm-hmm. 0 to 5. You know, I mean, it was always reading. It was always a story. Reading to our kids was just one of the most favorite times at night with them. And with the grandkids now, sometimes that means they read to us. Mm-hmm. You know, and then the other piece for them, I think, is Mike started telling stories when they come to our house. And so if one's Henry, then it's the story has Prince Henry in it, mm-hmm. or it'll have, and then it'll have the cousins in it and mom and dad or the king or the queen. And every time they come to spend the night, then he'll add the other chapter, you know, and no matter what story you read, they've got to have another chapter in that make-believe story. And then they get to add now to the story as they're getting older, you know, and just story, reading stories, telling stories. Another one that was so fun when they were 5 is just looking through the picture albums, even mm-hmm. when with my mm-hmm. own kids, and remembering this is how I felt on the day we brought you home, or this is when your brother was born, or telling them pictures of their grandparents who have passed and telling stories about that. Story is just so powerful for the little ones, I think. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I love how you personalize and like Mike. So I know this in our family because you guys babysat Natalie mm-hmm. a few times years ago when I was going back to college. Natalie would come here and Mike would tell her stories with Princess Natalie. Well, she came home asking me for the Princess Natalie story. I had no idea what that was. And I had to revisit Mike to find out, oh, you know, there's something about also making us special, you know, and I know with your grandkids, I think several of them, they have their each their own song too. So it's made up to a melody. Yeah. Yeah. And yet like that makes you feel so special as a young mm-hmm. child to have that. Mm-hmm. I'm the heroine in the story.
One of the favorite things we did raising our family, and now we watch them do it with their kids, is at birthdays, we do all the typical things you do to celebrate birthdays. But then we would go around the table and you would say something you appreciate about the person or tell a happy memory of the person. Mm-hmm. And just a way of honoring them with words and remembrance on birthdays. And it is just so fun now to watch. We've been with some of the grandkids on their birthday and to watch them do that mm-hmm. same thing in their family, you know. And those have become treasures almost as much as any gift, just going around the table and hearing that from each person.
Absolutely. Yeah. I want us to now talk a little bit older in age. So let's talk, you know, that elementary, but even into teenage years, where I think elementary years are good. They get a little bit harder than the 0 to 5. And for certain, we run that into teenage years. How do you begin to create moments and memories in those mm-hmm. years, like 6 to 16? What does that look like?
You know, I think I'd have to say that's when you start to really, I mean, all along, right? From the first time you hold your baby, you're feeling what their personality is. And I feel that with my grandkids. As they really start to get older, it's noticing what they like or don't like and being able to call out that uniqueness in them. You know, one is going to love music. The other is going to love sports. Mm-hmm. And so I think calling out that uniqueness and celebrating that in them, being interested in that, learning about that with them in the teen years, I think it's really just holding them close while you let them go. So trust is one way of loving. And then being there if they break it to let them know that that's okay. Let's begin again, you know, rebuilding that. And just celebrating, enjoying what they love to do. Letting them pick what's for dinner or letting them cook if they want to. Or little things like, we had a teen once, we were going on a family vacation. He begged his dad to pack the car. And if you know Mike, you know, he has a way he packs a car. And it was going to be like, no, no, no. And that morning, Mike woke up. Our teen had stayed up late and packed that car before Mike got up to pack it. And the best way of celebrating that teen mm-hmm. was when Mike looked at the car and turned around and didn't correct and said, you packed that car better than I could have packed it. Yeah. And you know, I should have let you do that next time you can pack. Mm-hmm. So it's sometimes it's giving them their wings and celebrating that, you know?
Yeah. I love that, how you describe both. So noticing failures are a big space we make moments, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's because we learn how to process failures as kids. So as a parent, such a place of influence, right, in those to make a moment. Mm-hmm. Like how I respond to their failure is going to be impacting how they will interpret themselves and failure as they move forward in life. So noticing those times as opportunities and being really intentional and careful with our words, our tone, and how do we want them to interpret failures? And then I also hear like there's moments when you see growth. Like there's opportunities when they take something on and then like noticing that and making it a moment as well, which both of those fit into ordinary life, like packing a car, helping them after they've messed up. Again, it's not, and there are, we all know, trips and big things that we do as a family. However, when we talk about what really shapes us into how we think and behave and lead our own kids someday, that came out of the everyday moments, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. They are, we cannot underestimate the absolute power and wonder in everyday moments of life. And we don't see it because we're so tired.
Mm-hmm.
But God is building on every one of those everyday moments.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, today I'm just going to close with a familiar quote that comes to mind, long days, short years. And that is so true in whatever you're facing in parenting today. There's certain seasons that make for really long days with our kids. And in the end, we get through those. And it does become short years. And before we know it, they do grow up on us and we get to see the fruit of our labor. So I bless you today to be tired and thankful at the end of your day. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.